Well, good morning. Before we dive into our time in the Word this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come confessing afresh our desperate need for you. I come personally, Lord, knowing that I have arrived this morning with a fragmented soul, a heart that is easily distracted by many various things. Lord, some of them the events of the past week, some of them thinking through the events of the week to come. But Lord, as we will see this morning, I pray specifically that you would help us see the battle we are in this time of year. So, Father, I ask, in light of my constant need to confess that I am unable to do anything of any significance this morning, any significance spiritually, any significance in encouragement, any significance in conviction, I can do nothing. And so, Father, I pray again that you would be gracious to get me out of the way. Father, I pray that you would, as your people this morning, we would stand amazed at the grace of Jesus Christ, and that we would leave here fully aware of, yes, the joys of this season, but also the very real and potential danger. And we ask this in the name of our sufficient Lord, Savior, and treasure, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope that you are here today with the full realization that tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I don't know about you, but it seems like Christmas has flown like a rocket to meet us. It seems like yesterday we were enjoying summer activity. And now, tomorrow, we begin our Christmas celebrations for our church and likely many of your family. Now, if you haven't completed your shopping yet, sorry. It's probably too late. And probably, if I'm honest, I should say sorry to the wives. Because if someone procrastinated in the realm of shopping, it's most likely the husband's here this morning, to which, see what you get. So, and the reason I say all this, especially with the speed it seems this season has come upon us, I felt it wise to lay out a warning. And that warning has to do with the fact that whether you know it or not, you and I have been in a war zone. And tomorrow into Tuesday is likely the pinnacle of that battle. There is an absolute war on or at Christmas. But by that, I don't mean the cultural quote-unquote war on Christmas that is sometimes discussed and honestly at times overblown in many circles. Today, I want to remind us of a far more dangerous war at this time of year. And it isn't fought online or on billboards or even between people groups. This war is one that takes place not primarily in department stores, coffee shops, or family dinner tables. This is a war that rages on the battlefield of our hearts. And if we are not careful or ignorant of it, we could easily just coast through the Christmas season and be left bearing wounds in a fight we didn't even know was taking place. And this is why the title of this morning's message is No Silent Night. during a season, we sing of the silent night that Christ was incarnated. There will be no silence in the war zone of our hearts. There will be raging that happens that you may not even ponder. But beloved, that is why I felt compelled to remind us all of this reality. And what is this war about? Well, like all wars, it is a battle of rule and reign. But not only that, it is a war for where we find our maximum joy and delight. And this is not a war for non-believers. The reason I say that is for them, there is no fight. But by God's grace, we in Christ have been awakened in new birth, and therefore awakened to the battle we were once blind to. And that is why, during a season when we should be fueled to worship the Lord, we sadly will be tempted to worship something else. This season is full of temptation that has always been present since the fall. And it has everything to do with an exchange. And I don't mean what you will likely be doing at the store days after Christmas. I mean an exchange all humans have done since we breathed our first breath. The distinction for us as believers is that God has graciously not left us there. Or, as we will see, He has not given us over to this exchange process. To see this exchange, look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 1, or excuse me, starting in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 and going to verse 25. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 and going to verse 25. Beginning in verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Verse 23. "And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." Verse 25. "Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Please notice that in verse 24, Paul makes clear that an expression of God's wrath is a giving over to the lusts of the heart. Hear me. It is judgment for the Lord to allow the rebel to get what their heart desires. And this is where we who are in Christ should rejoice greatly that God has displayed unmerited favor in not leaving us where we were. But because of His act of regeneration, we now see the battle we are in. And what we have been brought to see is the true resting place of our soul. I have and continue to describe the Christian life as I believe Hebrews 4:11 alludes to, as a fight to rest. Because all, even believers, we all are going to rest our souls somewhere. Augustine expressed this truth with such clarity when he said the following: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you." And if we're honest, don't we feel the potential restlessness that is this season? The season that is to remind us of the source of peace often feels like the least peaceful time of the year. And part of that is because our world declares and our hearts delight in the thought that peace, rest, satisfaction, and joy are found in creation rather than creator, in gifts rather than giver. And as I said, tomorrow into Tuesday is the major battle of this war during this season. You and I will be tempted to find maximum delight in something from a store, or from a package, or from the oven. But beloved, we need to ponder this season afresh what one great theologian came to see during the Christmas season. And that comes from the words of the great theologian, the Grinch. The Grinch thought something he hadn't thought before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. To which I would say, no, it means infinitely more. This is why the Lord, in a book full of prophecies about Christ, says these words of great reminder in Isaiah 55. Look at Isaiah 55 with me, verses 1 through 3. A famous text we've looked at many times, but Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Look at what the writer says, speaking for the Lord in Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2. "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." Again, this passage is not calling us to never purchase anything, but it is calling us to remember true joy can't be bought or earned. It's talking about coming to the Lord in salvation. You can never earn that coming. It is a free gift of the person and work of Jesus Christ. This season tempts us to forget that. This season, if we are honest, tempts us to forget the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 29 and going to verse 31. 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 29. And this is actually, as I'll state in a moment, one of my, it's odd, but it is one of my, if not the go-to wedding texts that I would go to. And the context of this passage is Paul answering a question from a betrothed couple about marriage. And Paul lays out the blessing of marriage, but also that it, like the other things he's going to mention, is not ultimate. This is why he begins as he does in verse 29. Look at verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. This text is why this is my go-to passage for wedding ceremonies, because we need to remember as married people that as wonderful as a spouse is, they are always to remain in the number two slot of our heart. I've said it before, I become a cruel spouse when I place on my dear wife's shoulder the burden she was never intended to bear, and that is the burden, make my life worth living. Again, there's only one being in the universe who's able to bear that load. And he says, come to me, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is not a marriage text, or this is not a marriage sermon. But we will see that implication, that thought, is what he continues to hit on. Notice what Paul says, the words he says in verse 30 to 31. In light of this season, I want you to see them through that thought. Look at verse 30. And those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. So first, this season can be reminder of and bringer of great mourning. We all know many in our body who will have and have lost loved ones. And this is a particularly hard time of year. And mourning is absolutely appropriate. But beloved, hear me. Don't let the pain of this season tempt you to forget that because of Christ, we are never a people who mourn without hope. On the flip side of that, all the blessings and joys of celebrations and real reasons for rejoicing could easily tempt you to do so in a way that says, those are ultimate. Don't allow this season to move you to forget the source of your greatest joy and make us all, and makes all the joys pale in comparison to the joy that is Jesus Christ in the gospel. Then, and this is the big one during this season, the text says we are to buy as if we had no goods, or as if we did not possess. No matter the present opened over the next few days, please don't allow it to be gripped so tightly in your heart that you run to it as your source of peace and rest. And finally, with all the interactions of this season and all the dealings of this world, please don't forget, for those in Christ, this is not our ultimate home. This world is passing away. So as you have dealings, even in this season, please do so as though ultimately you had no dealings. And don't you see that much of the message of this season seek to make us believe the exact opposite of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7? One author who completely nails this understanding is Paul Tripp. He actually, on November 28th of this year, wrote an article to help us realize and be aware of the potential dangers of this season. Listen to his wise words in his piece entitled, Under Christmas Attack. He says, you and your family are under attack. You probably don't feel the siege. It's subtle, seductive and attractive. And that's why this attack is infinitely more dangerous. What in the world am I talking about? Look at the calendar. Here again, he wrote this in November. He says, the Advent season commences in just a few days. And I would say now, Christmas is a few days away. It should be a glorious time of remembering God's response to his lost and rebellious image bearers. That response wasn't to condemn, but to give the ultimate gift of grace, the gift of himself. But instead of a peaceful season of worship and celebration, Christmas at times has developed into a spiritual war. The quote-unquote Christmas story, which the surrounding culture celebrates, puts us at the center, the place for God and God alone. It looks to creation for fulfillment rather than worship of the Creator. It makes physical pleasure our primary need rather than the rescuing intervention of the Redeemer. It's dominated by the comforts of the moment rather than eternal priority. In every way, the story you will hear over and over again during the Christmas season is dangerously wrong when it comes to who we are and what we need. It encourages us to find comfort where comfort can't be found and to place our hope in things that will never deliver. To be clear, I have no problem with beautiful decorations, family feastings, or giving gifts. The Christmas season can be a time when families gather again and renew relationships and express love for one another. But I'm concerned that we're listening to a false Christmas story instead of remembering the true Christmas narrative. A story that defines our beliefs about who we are, what we need, and what our lives are all about. Unlike that false Christmas story, the true Advent narrative is humbling and unattractive. It's a sad story about a world terribly broken by sin, populated by self-centered rebels who are willing participants in their own destruction. It's about beings created to live for God who in every way live for themselves. This story is about the dethroning of the Creator and enthroning of its creation, of His creation. It's about conditions so desperate that God did the unthinkable, sending His Son to be the sacrificial Lamb of redemption. And why did Jesus come? Because we were so lost, so enslaved, so self-deceived that there was simply no other way. Until we hear and understand the bad news, the good news won't be attractive to us. The news that Jesus came on a glorious mission of grace to live, die, and rise in our place is only worth celebrating when you understand it's our only hope. The war for Christmas isn't about whether we sing silly seasonal tunes versus gospel carols or have worship times versus big family feasts. You can do both. Rather, the war is about what story of identity, need, meaning, and purpose we will believe and give our hearts to pursue. Life really is a battle of stories. And the battle rages most fiercely when the true story is meant to be told most loudly. So enjoy the gifts, enjoy the decorations, enjoy the delicacies, but start defending your heart and your family by telling the true Advent narrative. Before you begin to get distracted by all the traditions of holiday fun, take up the battle for your soul. And to prepare yourself for this battle, over the next few days, Tripp gives some action steps that I challenge you to take to heart. First, don't ignore the bad news. Good news isn't good unless it's prefaced with bad news. And redemption becomes beautiful when we understand the depth of our need. Second, find the flaws. Enjoy the traditions, make new memories, and have a good time. But take opportunity to point out how and why the world's false Christmas story you have heard again and again isn't true and isn't hopeful. Third, celebrate Jesus as the gift. Express love by giving gifts and enjoy receiving items on your own wish list. But remind yourself and others that creation can't satisfy us and that our only hope is found in one gift, the person, presence, work, and grace of Jesus Christ. Finally, I want to add one to Paul Tripp's list here, and it is this. Actually, spend time this season expressing gratitude. In our discussions as a family about all of these things, it was actually my daughter, Kara, a few weeks ago, who came up with the idea that I would suggest to you as well. After opening our gifts as a family, you've all been there. There is paper everywhere, children hyped up on everything, and it's so tempted to just clean up, get it put back, and go play and go. But I would challenge you, what we long to do this year is actually pause after everything's been opened and actually have a time of prayer and thanksgiving to the giver of all gifts. Hoping that that reality to actually be a people who are grateful, yes, for the things that we have just enjoyed and will continue to enjoy, but be reminded of the fact that they are simply shadows of the greatest gift and the greatest source of joy, Jesus Christ Himself. May we be a people truly enjoying Christ as the ultimate blessing. So, beloved, please don't go into the next couple of days ignorant of the war that is raging in your heart and my heart. Please remember that you and I must ask continually, am I worshiping the Christ of Christmas? Or am I honestly worshiping all the things that could distract me from Christ at Christmas? So as we rejoice in that silent night, as Christ rested in a manger, may that bring true silence of our restless souls, to find afresh our rest in Him. We can fight with confidence this war because the baby in the manger became our victorious Savior, Lamb, and King. As you recognize the battle, hear me. Praise the Lord that for us in Christ, our victory has been fully guaranteed by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us do in our hearts what we are about to sing with our lips. We're going to sing the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. And there's this particular line that stuck out to me as I was pondering all these things. Can I genuinely say that I want to be one who comes specifically at the season to adore Him? For I know in my heart, I am so tempted and so distracted to give my attention, my allegiance, and my affection to far lesser things, rather than the one that all those things are meant to roll up into greater delight and worship of. So hear me. Have a blast. Enjoy your next few days, but do so in light of and fueled by the source of, as we will see tomorrow, the greatest news of greatest joy. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I know again in my own heart, I confess how easy it is for me to forget the grave temptations that arise in this season. And Father, the problem is not the temptations out there. The problem is my heart wanting those temptations. So Lord, I ask that for us, specifically those in Christ, You would help us because of the secured victory that we have in Jesus Christ. This one who was incarnated at the season that we celebrate. The one who came not just to fill a manger, but again to fill a cross and to empty a tomb. Father, may that reality fuel us to be amazed and delight in You more than anything else. Lord, for those here who may not know You, I pray that today they would honestly ask, is there any battle of this delighting in Jesus Christ more than all things? And if You, by Your mercy, would reveal to their hearts the fact that there is no war because they are dead in their trespasses and sin. Oh, Father, I pray that today You would produce and bring about the glorious miracle of salvation, knowing that it has all been purchased because of Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. So, Lord, as we are about to sing, I ask for myself first. Let me not just simply say these words from my lips, but may the longing to come and adore You be the greatest delight and longing of my soul. Lord, I ask that for us as a body. May we genuinely be a people who worship and celebrate this Christmas season, the One who is due all worship, is due maximum glory. And in seeing You glorified, it amazes me that we as Your children get maximum joy. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.